And we are underway. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday, and it is warm. If you're around your computer, by all means, feel free to give us a call or a text at 651-461-9226. If you're having problems with your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call the program or once again send a text. Great way to go. 651-461-9226. Dub, I hope you're feeling good today and staying cool.
Boy, it's warm outside. I was out a couple of times today, and it is warm. Oh, man, oh, man. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I got out there early and mowed, and it was still pretty warm by then, and now it's downright hot, so we invite people to take it easy. And once again, friendly reminder, keep that laptop out of the sun and that smartphone or that tablet or whatever. These devices do not like the heat. They don't like to be frozen solid either, but they really don't like the heat.
Well, I think the big thing is what people got to realize, especially with a laptop or a notebook or a netbook, not so much our phones, but these devices, when you bring them out to the heat and they're in the heat for 4 or 5 hours, God forbid you let them lay in direct sunlight, but then you walk into an air-conditioned room and it's just such a drastic change, that's when the danger happens. It's these extreme changes. If you keep that in mind, it will be very, very helpful. I've seen laptops that they fire them up in an air-conditioned room and the entire display just cracks right across the front, and more than one. So this is more common than I think people realize. Just be cautious.
Yeah. The other thing we haven't talked a lot about lately, and that is browsers. And for a long time, and we talk about Chromebooks, and with a Chromebook, you know, Google and Google Chrome is part of the deal. You can put other browsers on a Chromebook. But I wanted to open the show today about that, because if you have a Mac, you get Safari built in. If you get a Windows machine, you get a browser built in. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's Google and Firefox. You've talked about Brave over the years. Doug, what do you prefer right now? What should people be using? I know multiple browsers is a good deal. Safari, by the way, is available for a Windows machine. Mm-hmm. It's not Mac exclusive. What are your favorite browsers?
Yeah, you know, I still tend to open up Brave first, but there's no getting around. You must have multiples. And in fact, the last several weeks, I'm amazed at this. My Tor browser seems to be faster than the rest of them. It's like it's picking up the domain name service faster. So I've been using the Tor browser quite a bit as well. But my main go-to browser is Brave. My secondary is always open, is Firefox. My third would be LibreWolf, which is built on a Firefox engine. And, of course, Chromium. You got to have some semblance of a connection to Google, but that's pretty infrequent these days that I use that. But I've been surfing lately with the Tor browser. It's just amazing. I really like it. It's very good. I've got it set up using DuckDuckGo as the default search engine, and I've got that on high privacy. You know, no such thing as 100% private or anonymity. But I think that just look for the ones that's running the fastest, because they're probably doing a better job. But you have to have three or four. All through my day, I might be opening up a site in the Tor browser, and it just won't come. I reach down, grab Firefox or Brave, and one of them two usually will pull it up. Another one would be Vivaldi, which is an Italian browser. Wonderful browser. V-I-V-I-L-A-D-A. Vivaldi. Yeah, I think that's it. A wonderful browser. Pretty, a little bit different layout than what most people are used to. And then, of course, on my Apple phone, I've got Safari. I like Safari, too. Safari has come a long way over the last several decades. It does the job, and it does it well. So I couldn't encourage people more. Multiple browsers. Doesn't cost you a penny to download them. This is a big business on the Internet, so they're all competing very heavily. And just keep an eye on them and play with them, and you'll find the one. There's literally hundreds on the net that you can download today, but be cautious with that as well. And I also open up from time to time what's called the Zen browser, Z-E-N. I leave that one with no add-ons, no extensions, no nothing. And that's my cleanest browser. Last resort, I can't get into a site I really want to visit, I open up Zen. And I think that between those five, I've got it covered. And I hope that helps.
Yeah, what about Edge? As I pointed out, that comes built in with Windows. I use it sparingly, even though it is standard equipment. What's your read on Edge?
Well, you know, the thing is there's so many changes in the background that we're never aware of with Edge. You know, when it first came out, it was built on a Chrome base, and it still is. But, you know, Microsoft, because it is open source, has gone in and made a lot of extra changes. Some good, some not so good. There's really mixed feelings in the IT industry about Edge. Now, a lot of businesses that are using Office 365, Edge might be the best browser for 365. But I'm not comfortable with it. But that's me. I'm probably over paranoid anyway. But I don't use Edge at all. I don't recommend it. But that's, again, it's personal preference, and I admit I'm biased.
All right, so number one, folks should give a try to Brave, Brave.
Well, that's my favorite. That's really, okay. With the built-in ad blocker and stuff, it's just the cleanest browser that I've got. And, of course, I'm seeing that Tor is right up there as well. So those two are my main go-tos.
All right, good stuff, Doug. By the way, if you want to visit with Doug, the number is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Lindsey Brown is our producer. If you call the studio, you'll visit with Lindsey. And if you text, you'll get right in to the studio on this final Saturday in July. Boy, time is flying, that is for sure. And we look forward to hearing from you. When we come back, we're going to talk about upgrades that you can do to your computer, and maybe the most important upgrade to an older computer, and that is a solid-state drive. We'll get Doug's thoughts on that and how you go about doing it here on Tech Talk on a Saturday. News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk, and we're on the air Saturday, sports schedules permitting, between 3 and 4 o'clock. Twins and Nats played tonight, game 2 of the 3-game set at Target Field. Twins won 1-0 on Friday night. Doug Swinhart is in. And by the way, if you want to visit with Doug, you can call or text 651-461-9226. And we're going to go to Mike in St. Paul. Mike, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Hello. I love the show.
Great.
And I have an old computer laptop I love. It had the hinges broke, and I bought a computer off the internet for parts. I receive it, and it's absolutely perfect new computer, but it's got a problem. I said to myself, I'll just move all the information, rather than the internal components, I'll just move the information to the new computer. But here's the deal. I plug in the charger, and I do not get the light on the front. Now, the computer will turn on and boot up without the battery in it, using just the external charger, and it'll boot up and work without the charger plugged in and just a charged battery installed. But when it boots up, the screen says, you know, it thinks it's not plugged in and it's not charging.
Is this a Dell by any chance?
You know what? I got it here. Let me take a quick look.
I'll bet it's a Dell.
It's a Gateway. I don't know if that's made by Dell or...
Really? You got an old Gateway.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, if that's the case, there is a component inside your computer that is right underneath the display on top of the... in front of the keyboard. And that regulates your AC, DC, and your charge. Give me a call next week. This might be difficult to find parts, but if you can find the parts, it's not going to be expensive.
Well, I got the old parts and the old computer, so
we might be able to swap that part. But give me a call next week, and we'll do a deeper dive into this.
Okay, thank you very much, Doug.
Sure.
Yeah, all right, very good, Mike. And by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program today. But that is unusual. Typically, that kind of stuff just generally works. If it works plugged into the AC adapter, even with a battery out, it you plug the battery in and it won't charge the battery. That seems to be some sort of switch that's gone bad.
Well, and the strange thing is, if I understood him correctly, if he's got a charged battery in when it's not plugged in, then it works. But it doesn't charge the battery. That's really an anomaly. There's something really bizarre here.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, Gateway was a big deal many, many years ago, and then they resurrected the brand, but I haven't followed it all that closely.
Yeah, they're owned now by Tiger Direct, which sold so many Gateways that they really felt obligated to take care of warranty and parts, and so they bought out all their surplus. I think where Gateway really made their mistake, which I think was just a huge mistake, they bought out Acer, and I thought that that was just going to be a smart move for them. But what they did was every time they had bad parts with the Gateway, they'd put them into an Acer and ship it out. So Acer got this bad reputation, and its sense has regained, and they're separate now. But I think that was a bad move on Gateway's part, and I think it cost them.
Yeah, they
supplied millions of computers.
I remember they had a huge factory in South Dakota near Sioux City, and it was a big deal in the 90s. Gateway was big back in the day. All right, Doug, you have an older computer. Say someone has a little bit older machine, but it has the traditional spinning hard drive. You've brought it up before. Is it a do-it-yourself project? Can you update your machine, desktop, laptop, to a solid-state drive? Is it something, if you have reasonable skills with a screwdriver, can you get that done?
You know, these manufacturers have gone out of their way to simplify this process to the point to where I think anybody could do it.
Oh, wow.
Almost all of them come with a mirroring software, so you can connect your new SSD through an external port and sit back, and it may take a while.
So a USB.
And you just mirror one drive to the other and shut it down, unplug it, take the back off, take the 3.5, take the original spinner drive out. They're the same size if you get a 2.5-inch SSD, and stick that in and fire it up and boot it. Now, for even the minimally technically inclined, if this is a process you're going to do, I would also suggest that you do some research about NVMe SSDs. And that stands for non-volatile memory enhanced. That's a big fancy word. Yeah. But these look like a stick of memory. And they are so fast. Oh, my God. That's really the new technology. But if you've got an older computer, it probably won't take that. And make sure, even if it does take it, that you're going to receive the speed enhancements that you expect. Some motherboards, you can put it in, and it's exactly the same as a 2.5-inch drive. So other than that, the 2.5-inch drive, you will notice, you'll go from a 3-minute boot-up time to probably 40 seconds. And that's before you even start to clean up Windows. So, yeah, that's more than doable. I really like the Samsung. They're a little bit more money, but they're worth it. If you want to save some money, I really like Inland, and they're sold at Micro Center and online, of course, INLAND. Nice drives. There is a plethora of good drives. Crucial's making NVMe drives, Western Digital. Seagate is a little bit limited here because they've kind of focused on security systems and surveillance and long-term storage. They're still kind of the king of storage, actually. They just don't sell as much on the retail homeowner level, but they're available. Absolutely. probably one of the best investments you could make. A 256 gig you can get for less than $20 today. The adapter to do this thing, if you're going to use it just like one time, I would say buy an external case, probably for your 3.5, and then you could actually put in the 2.5. Well, that might be a little complex. Get a 2.5. They're about $9 for an external case. Stick that new SSD drive in the external case, plug it in, mirror it, and rock and roll. You're all done. It really is that simple.
Yeah, and that is probably the biggest do-it-yourself trick to upgrade an older computer and keep it running great. It is a great deal. And these things are not expensive.
Oh, goodness, no. I think the last 512 gig SSD, 2.5-inch internal that I bought, I think was $30, and I think they've gone down since then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's absolutely. And when the manufacturers get to the point to where they're competing like this, it's time to get it done.
Yeah, for sure. From our text line, and by the way, the number is 651-461-9226 on this warm Saturday at the end of July. When I open Safari, sometimes my browser jumps to a Yahoo site. What could be going on there?
Well, that's weird. That's I'd be looking inside in that thing internally for an extension, which is not easy to do with Safari, but something's wrong. If it's intermittent especially, I would absolutely call Apple. I really would. Now, if it's coming up after you've been into a specific site, that might be different. It's something that's caught in a cache. But that should not do that.
No.
Safari, any browser, you don't want this thing being redirected on its own. You just don't want that to ever happen.
Yeah, but Doug, you can set a home screen, if you will. When you go into a browser, it can go to whatever window you want to set it at. So that's kind of your home screen.
Your start page, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that individual should check that as well. But the intermittent thing is what got me.
Yeah,
sometimes,
for sure.
When they said that word, sometimes, that's...
Yeah.
You want your computer at all costs to be consistent, so you know what to expect.
Yeah.
There's nothing more important with a computer than the owner's trust, seriously. And they're not all trustworthy, but it takes an awful lot for them to get that way.
Well, and Doug, I would say over the years, you and I have dealt with a lot of frustrations, and a lot of people are frustrated, and that is people get used to their computer, and when they turn it on, what they see, what the icons are, how it behaves. And if there is any unexpected change to that, it throws people for a loop. It's kind of like, what happened to my stuff? Why doesn't it navigate? And that was a gigantic frustration with updates and going to new operating systems. Things just change so much. I don't know why they did that to people, because you get used to what you like, and you like your stuff where it is.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And it used to be with Microsoft that they would send out their future updates anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks in advance, send out notices to anybody that wanted to sign up for it, so you knew what was coming and what to expect. Well, then one day they say, oh, we just don't have time to do that anymore. And it just stopped overnight.
Yeah.
And a lot of administrators said, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm working with 30, 40 different machines, different versions of Windows, and you want me just to automatically update all of them? And it created some havoc. And I can appreciate what you said about this moment of panic. Oh, my God, what's wrong?
Yeah.
Anybody that has ever worked seriously on a computer has felt that panic.
and
we don't like things changing without our knowledge. If something is going to change that is going to be in my face when I boot, oh, goodness, please let me know ahead of time.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Steve. That practice, it should change. It really should.
Yeah, or how your email looks. I remember in Outlook, you know, you'd hit something by mistake, and then all of a sudden the emails would present differently in the list. It was just like, what did I do? I want it back the old way.
This gets to be an issue, I say that for sure. And, you know, programmers generally, when they're testing, if they've got enough time, of course, when they're testing, they try to create every human interaction mistake that they possibly can to ward against what you're just talking about, really. But it's just impossible, you know, to know every configuration, what software is installed, what hardware is installed, how the people use it. How, do they read the screen or do they just guess? It's impossible. So, and that's why we always got some kind of beta program, even after it's released to the world. There's no other way around it. It's a heck of a business for programmers and developers. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, and then you get people who are, you know, using the old fat finger or, you know, are poking around somewhere where they shouldn't be and don't know what they're doing. That gets hard to manage. Hey, quick break.
User fatigue.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather, and then we have more tech talk. I will talk about Windows 11, an old Mac that the operating system can't be updated anymore. Is it safe to go online? And much, much more with Doug. It is Tech Talk. Lindsey Brown is our producer. Once again, the weather. And then more here on a Saturday. News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us this Saturday afternoon. No show next week. The Twins will be in Cleveland to play the Guardians. And we have the Twins lineup card at 2:30. First pitch just after 3. I will be traveling next Saturday, so no show. And Shaletta will get you to the Twins game next Saturday afternoon here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. But next Saturday, if you miss Tech Talk, you can go online, WCCORadio.com, and take a look at one of those podcasts. We'd certainly appreciate that if you download those and share those. All right, Doug, let's get to the text line. It's been very busy today, and let's get started at the top of the list. Would you advise installing a free Windows 11 version on a 5-year-old Dell desktop? Is it easy, or should I just get a new computer?
Yeah, it really depends on your time. If you're willing to spend a couple of hours learning, and here's a perfect example of I'm happy that hard drives are inexpensive. Buy a new hard drive. Don't mess with your hard drive. Get an SSD and whatever it takes and pop that in there. And I'd say absolutely. If you're concerned about not having a TPM, a trusted platform module, which I don't think anybody should have unless it's connected to a huge enterprise. By the way, Steve, did you know that TPMs are actually illegal in some countries? I think people should know these things. And you want to bypass that. I think WinX Lite is a wonderful way to go. Also, I would say do some research on Linux while you're doing this. If you got an extra weekend, take a weekend and decide what you're going to do. And remember, if all else fails, you can take that new hard drive out, set it aside for another time, put your hard drive back, and everything goes back exactly the way it was. It's not a gamble anymore. Not with hard drive costs the way they are. It's not a gamble. I would highly suggest that we don't throw away these machines. We make use of them for 10, 15, 20 years. I've got a couple that are 22 years old running strong. And I'm not one to waste stuff, and I know you're that same way, Steve.
Yeah, so it is doable, and once again, storage space, hard drives are cheap. That might be a good way to go, but a 5-year-old Dell, that's got plenty of life.
Oh, yeah, that's, you know, many, many, many people have more computer than they realize, and in fact, today, people are actually buying new computers. These manufacturers and sellers, they're playing with numbers really bad. And they'll buy a new computer, and they'll end up with less computer than the one they're going to stick in the closet because of software. That just drives me crazy. Just absolutely wild. Yeah, so yeah, we got to pay attention. And this industry is changing by leaps and bounds. Yeah, you know, China came out with their own operating system that hooks up to every device you have, and it's called Harmony. Well, who's not going to want to check that out? And, of course, I think when they're going to start to push this in the U.S. as well, you can get an English version right now. It's a little bit dicey. They're going to want to give them some time. But before too long, we're going to see this industry change kind of like what Apple is doing right now. They're making chips that will only go with their software. Their software will only go with their custom chips. And I think we're going to see more of that coming up because, you know, people like to have, I don't know how to say it, they want to control their customers. And I don't always agree with that, but it's a fact of life. But, yeah, stay open-minded about this and hang on to your equipment. At worst case scenario, you can slap on an open source Linux version distribution and rock and roll. I'm not big on throwing stuff away.
Doug, here's another one. Speaking of an older machine, I have an old Apple Mac, 2013. It's a desktop. Oh. I've tried to update, but it's apparently too old for the new operating system. You can't update it. Is it still safe to get on the internet?
No. Okay, in fact, if you can't get your browsers updated, then it's time to make a serious change. These older Macs, I love putting Linux on these things. They run and run and run and run. And there's people out there that are really specialists in Macs, and they've created several processes to bypass this and to update so you can get a newer operating system. But that's kind of questionable. I don't like going that route, but it can be done. Again, this is great equipment. Now, stop and consider a 2013 machine. That's like, what, 15 years old, 12 years old at this point?
Yeah, 12.
What a machine. If it's run for 12 years, do you think it's going to run for another 12 or 20? Of course it is. So take advantage of it. If you get, vacuum it out, keep it clean, keep the air moving, and go to a different operating system and check it out. Same thing applies with a Mac. The only thing is you got to make absolutely certain that the drive you put in is Mac compliant. That's the only thing you got to watch. And even the prices for older Mac-compliant components are dropping. You'd be amazed at what you can do for $50 with an old Mac. I love these old Macs. They were great machines when they were new, and they're still great machines today.
All right. Here's one from our text line. By the way, still plenty of time. If you want to visit with Doug, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. I'm using a Windows 10 machine with Excel spreadsheets. I had a spreadsheet that I used for several years with multiple pages in it, and all of a sudden it disappeared, and when I go to look for it, it says a file not found or moved. Is there a way to recover that? That sounds really unusual.
Yeah, yes, there is. There's a free program called Recuva. And it was produced by the same people who made Revo Uninstaller. I love Recuva. Just be cautious. You will find that file, and it will be missing the front character name, and it should be able to pull it back, even if you deleted it by accident. And, in fact, this thing is so quality, I've actually seen portions of drives that were formatted, and it got some of the files. It didn't always get them all, but it's a tremendous, tremendous package. Recuvi. Just run a search and make sure you don't. I would say download it from Major Geeks, but that's me. And it's just majorgeeks.com. That's a huge file depository. They keep their files clean. You don't have to worry about any viruses or malware. Then just go to Google and type in Recuva space plus Major Geeks and just hit the enter button. And the first results is going to be download Recuva at Major Geeks. And click on that and rock and roll.
Yeah, Recuva. That sounds pretty cool to get an old file back. I know at work I have Windows 365, and they have a feature where if you're working on a spreadsheet and there's an accidental shutdown or whatever, or you forgot to save it when you closed it or whatever, you can recover it. So there are various ways to recover that. I would assume you're right. It certainly does still exist. And, Doug, one other thing we want to bring up before we break.
Mm-hmm.
I And we brought it up late in the show a week ago. And that is, if you have a Windows machine, do yourself a favor. At some point this weekend or next week or whatever, get Pervasor and run it on your Windows machine. It is worth its weight in gold, isn't it?
Well, and you know, in fact, they've got a new version. It just keeps getting better, Steve. It's faster. It's cleaner. It's just wonderful. I can't say enough good things about Pervasor. I do think I made a mistake. I said that Recuva was by Revo Uninstaller. It's by CCleaner, people.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And it's available to download. Anyway, back to talking about Pervasor. I love this program. Every Windows package that I work on, one of the first things I do is install Pervasor. This thing has saved me hours and hours and hours and saved my customers a ton of money. And once it's on, and you can download it and have it for free, donate what you think it's worth. They kind of put together a little package. Well, you want to sign up for the professional version? Well, this is a suggested price, and it kind of looks like you're buying it, but you sort of are, but you're not. But you do get extra support with that as well. But I don't think you need the support. It just runs. They already have tested this program for Windows 12, and it's rock solid. Just unbelievable. Pervasor, PRIVAZER.com. Every Windows owner should have it.
Yeah, it is a must. And, you know, if someone's struggling with their computer or if it's slowing down or whatever, this is where you would start, isn't it, Doug?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when computers start to slow down, you know, because we're moving out of the mechanical age into the digital age here. We're evolving. And you know what, mechanics, when stuff starts running rough, well, it must be wearing out. Computers don't wear out. If they slow down, I can almost guarantee that it's software. If it's hardware, it's just going to stop. And then you got to diagnose it. Generally, it'll actually give you an error if it's hardware. So, yeah, this is this creating a bunch of busy work in the background to make people believe that they need a new computer. It's I hope these days are coming to an end. All we got to do is get people educated.
Yeah, Pervasor's a great program for sure. 13 minutes now in front of 4 o'clock. It is Tech Talk. We'll come back. Still time if you want to call or text. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart in. By the way, show available online in podcast form at WCCORadio.com. Just search WCCO Tech Talk and you should get right there. Let's go to the phones and someone's waiting on the line. And let's bring in Bob. Bob, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have iBuyPower brand of desktop computer that I bought at Best Buy about 10 years ago. I'm being told that it will not accept a new update to the Microsoft, the next version. But it has a graphics card in it, and 10 years ago I paid well over $1,000 for the computer. How will I know if there's any parts that can be salvaged or used or sold out of this computer if, in fact, I have to get rid of it and buy a new one?
Well, first of all, I don't think you have to, but if you do, I would say almost everything on the inside of that is going to be usable to someone. A 10-year-old computer is not that old, and that's pretty decent technology. It really is. First thing I'd say is get on the Internet and open up a search box, DuckDuckGo, StartPage.com, Google, whatever, and in the search box, just type in Windows space X, like XYZ, X dash LITE, and press enter. And that'll take you to a company that will supply Windows X Lite, and you can easily install X Lite Windows 10, X Lite Windows 11, and I think they're ready to roll out very soon X Lite 12. So you don't need to get rid of your computer. You really don't. And I hope that helps. I just don't want to see this stuff end up in the landfills when it's not necessary. And I'm like you. You know, I'm quite frugal. And again, I'd be surprised if you ended up buying more computer than you're getting rid of. It's just that the addition of a TPM and making everybody happy because you're spending money. Really, it's a lot of times that's all it amounts to. And I hope that helps.
All right, Bob, good luck with that. We had another call. She couldn't wait. About which Wi-Fi she should switch to because she's had a tough time with CenturyLink. Doug, what do you think about Xfinity? I know you've used Xfinity for a long, long time. It's available in a lot of neighborhoods. I signed up for a new company that came into our neighborhood, and they buried fiber, gateway fiber. We've had really good luck.
Is that Quantum?
Depending on where you live in the metro area, there are options. But, Xfinity, they're big, and they do a good job for a lot of people.
Oh, you bet. They both have their pros, and they both have their cons, no doubt about it. But the big news at CenturyLink is their whole fiber system's been bought out by Quantum Internet, by Quantum Fiber. And they are owned by Lumina Company, another huge world-class corporation. And they're going through all the equipment piece by piece. In fact, I got a whole bunch of friends that had CenturyLink in Eagan, and they've already converted to Quantum Fiber. You just get a notice, and here's your, and their prices have dropped. I haven't heard one complaint about Quantum. Now, did you get Quantum or did you get U.S. Internet?
No. It's Gateway Fiber. It's a company that came into our suburb, and I don't know if they contracted with the city or what, but we signed up for it and moved away from CenturyLink and DSL after a long, long time. And
well, it
so
sounds
far,
to me like
so
your
good.
Town might be supplying Internet. That's smart if
no,
they are.
No, it's a private company, but they came in and, you know, they got right-of-way rights and put it in, and the city signed off on it. But I don't think it has anything to do with the city I live in.
Okay. Yeah, this is that's excellent. Yeah. The more competition we have here, the better off we all are. And there's still quite a few neighborhoods in the Twin Cities where you can have Xfinity, and that's it. Or you can have CenturyLink, and that's it. It's only high-speed available. And I hope that they get rid of that. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to Starlink getting really perfected. And it's on the way. We have options coming. This is an exciting part of this business.
Yep.
Most of the time when I get a call about I've got bad Wi-Fi, almost all the time they're just not purchasing fast enough Internet. Or there could be something weird in their house or something. It generally probably isn't the provider, but it could be. But that's my experience.
Another option for people is to go with Verizon or T-Mobile, and they have a 5G service. You get a little appliance, you plug it into the wall, and it'll create a Wi-Fi network off 5G cellular signals, and that can be a very good deal as well. And read about it. People have had very good luck. As a matter of fact, we use that as a backup at home because my wife and my daughter are full-time work from home, and they need reliable Internet. They need a backup, so we use that as a backup. It's been great. A lot of people use it as their main Internet. So Verizon, T-Mobile, I know AT&T is eventually rolling that out, but I've used the T-Mobile. Once again, it uses 5G cellular signals to create a Wi-Fi network. You can hardwire into it as well. It's pretty good, and I've been very happy as a backup Internet service provider in the house. So
when this service first came out, I have to admit, Steve, I was highly skeptical. I can't believe how good it runs.
Oh yeah,
and I've played with Verizon. T-Mobile is just a snap. You put that together in about 15, 20 minutes, and you're rocking and rolling. And it's been very consistent. You know, people are worried about the weather and this kind of stuff. It's not like a signal coming from a satellite. Your cell phones are quite consistent. So yeah, it's more than just a backup. This could easily be an alternative for people. It really is.
It may not be available in your neighborhood. Correct. Go to the website. I know Verizon offers it. T-Mobile does. Not sure about AT&T. Check it out, though. Put in your address. Okay. They'll say if it's available. And there's no contracts. They send you the equipment, and Doug's right. You pull it out of the box, you plug it into the wall, you train it up, you plug in the password, and away you go. It could work very, very well. I think a lot of it depends. Is it available in your neighborhood? By the way, another text we want to get in here real quick before we run out of time. We talked about Prevazor. If you have a Windows machine, it's a great program. Privazer, Prevazor, Privazer. Doug, real quick, phone number and email.
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543. And admin, A-D-M-I-N, at WCCOTech, WCCOTECH.com. 651-552-9543. Thank you, Steve. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you as well, Doug. We'll see you down the road. It is Tech Talk. We have the news. We have the weather. And then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney here on the CCO.